Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Deep Dish Radio episode 13 with Bill Hudson.
Welcome back to Deep Dish Radio. I am Tim Powers. Today's episode is an encore presentation of an interview I did in a previous show, but I liked it so much I wanted to share it with you under the Deep Dish format. This is Bill Hudson, and Bill was one third of the 1970s pop group The Hudson Brothers, along with his brothers Mark and Brett. And they ruled Saturday morning. In fact, John Lennon called them the stars of Saturday morning is what he called them. They were the group was kind of half Beatles, half Marx Brothers, and it was a really interesting time for them. They had Saturday morning shows, they had syndicated television shows, they had a summer replacement show on CBS, and there were at the time nothing bigger really. And at the height of Hudson Brothers fame, Bill Hudson married Goldie Hawn, who at the time was also pretty big. So those are the parents of famous actress Kate Hudson and her brother Oliver Hudson. Well, as we probably all know right now, Goldie and Bill are no longer together, and Goldie has for a long time been partnered with Kurt Russell. And, well, when there are children involved, the situation is never, never easy. And in his book, Two Versions, which is available wherever books are sold, your Amazon.com, your Barnes & Noble, go into your local bookstore and recommend it. It's actually it's a fantastic book, and I recommend it especially for any divorcing dad. Go in, pick up a copy of Two Versions, and Bill tells his story about what it's like to try and co-parent with Goldie and with Kurt, and how estrangement can really tear a man apart. It's a heartbreaking story, and Bill talks about how he tries to get through it with some grace. And along the way, his life just grows and expands to the point where he is today, and he shares his story with us on Deep Dish Radio. Hey, before we get started, I did want to remind you that you can email me anytime. I love to hear from you. My email is tim@deepdishradio.com. It's tim@deepdishradio.com. And I encourage you to leave comments on iTunes, just like a man identifying, or a woman, I suppose, someone identifying themselves as New York Pizza Lover, who left me a review on iTunes. It says, "This is an awesome podcast with great guests. I just came across it and binge listened at work. Keep up the great work, Tim. Even though I prefer the thin crust, I won't hold it against you." So I appreciate that. Also got a comment that I misspoke on the date of Donna Summer's death in the last episode, so I apologize for that. I got the year wrong. She's been with us, or she's been gone from us a little longer than I thought. So if you want to hear me mess up, go back and listen to the Bruce Sudano episode, the one right before this. So we really appreciate it. I'd love to hear from you. Leave me a review on iTunes, or of course, you can email me, tim@deepdishradio.com. You can follow us on Twitter @DeepDishRadio. And I believe there's a Facebook fan page out there that somebody set up for me too. So I appreciate all of you. I'm not going to ask you for money. This show is for free, and you get everything that you paid for. I appreciate you listening. Here's Bill Hudson on Deep Dish Radio.
Ooh, ah, ooh, 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 It's Deep Dish Podcast. Subscribe today and tell a friend about Deep Dish Podcast with Tim Powers. With Tim Powers.
Without giving too much of the book away, Bill, let's back up and kind of tell your story a little bit. Yeah, I guess it's better to hear in your words certainly than mine, but you know, start from where you feel comfortable starting and kind of give us a little bit about how you ended up in the situation that you were in.
Well, Goldie and I met in 1975, and we hit it off immediately, and you know, we just did.
Right.
And what happened was is that we wanted to get married and we wanted to have kids.
Right.
And we did, and everything was great at first. It was, we had this idyllic relationship. We were very, very similar in terms of our upbringing. You know, our families were very, very similar. She comes from a Jewish mother and a Episcopalian dad, and I come from an Italian Catholic family, but it was the same basic economic situation, and how we grew up was so similar, so our families really gelled. Everything was working great, and what happened was is that when she started going after her career, because her career was waning, Hudson Brothers were really at the height of everything at the time, and her career was sort of stagnating. And then she decided to go for it, and it takes a lot of effort to be successful in the entertainment business. And so she put 101% into it, and got what she wanted when she did Foul Play and then Private Benjamin.
Right.
But what happened was is that we had a worldview that was very different. She believed in open marriage. I did not. And I didn't know. She asked me that at first when we were first seeing each other, and I thought she meant if you were open with each other during a marriage, you know, like about, yeah, I was just fresh off the boat from Portland, Oregon. I had this whole Hollywood scene was really new to me. And I said, of course I believe in open marriage. I think it's important that we're really, you know, really, really open with each other. Well, several years later when she was doing Private Benjamin, I found that that's not what she meant. And she had this affair, which is what split us up.
Right.
And in the process, she utilized our children in the press. You know, there's a lot of celebrities that get divorced and have children that keep their kids out of the press. And Goldie didn't. And the one thing that was really troubling to me is there was this one picture, I think it was Life magazine or Look, or a big magazine, and she had, the front cover is Goldie with Oliver and one arm and Kate in the other, and this picture, and then the article is all about how this single mother is raising the children without a father, and all of it was just not true. It was a lie. And the irony of the story is that I had taken that picture with her and our children in front of my house the day before she left them with me for 3 weeks to go off to Ibiza with her new lover Eve.
Wow.
And yet the article was all about, you know, Goldie Hawn, single mother, and no help from a father.
But did you get photo credit from life?
The writing was on the wall, how she was going to utilize this for her press. And then she met Kurt Russell, and they had a child together. And that's when the problem started happening for my visitation with her was, and my kids, you know, was very difficult.
Right.
And we went to a mediation with the judge, and the judge said, you've got to, you know, adhere to this order, and she didn't. And it just started falling apart after that, and it was a miserable time.
I can imagine, and, you know, it you can't win in the, and I say this with all due respect, though, it's hard to win in the press against someone who's perceived as America's sweetheart, you know.
Absolutely, and she is perceived as, I was on the defensive.
Yeah. And so that put you in a difficult spot, you know, and there's a long time between now and then, so, you know, were there ways for you to maintain some sort of relationship with Kate and Oliver in the meantime?
Well, I had a really great relationship with my children for years. From Goldie and I split up until Kate was about 12 and Oliver was 15 and a half. I saw my kids all the time. There was the road got rocky in 1980, 89, when my visit was just all becoming impossible. She was living part of the time in Aspen. She was already with Kurt Russell, had a child together. She had, I believe, manipulated this, you know, this show business family. I mean, my kids, Kate and Oliver, were calling Kurt Pa, and it was very confusing for Kate. She'd come over, and one day we were sitting around the pool, and she goes, "Pa, I mean, Dad," and I didn't think much of it, and she told me something, and a few hours later, she comes up, running up to me with my other daughter, Emily, and she goes, "Pa, I'm sorry, I mean Dad," and I said, "What's this, Pa?" Oliver, who was yeah. nearby, I just said, "Oh, Mom's making us call Kurt Pa," and you know, those are things that you should not do. You should encourage the other parent as being their parent, and kids need that, and it leads to, what it is it's parental alienation, which I speak about in my book, where the parents are so much more in their own agenda that they are saying things, sometimes subtle things, that put doubt in the children's head about one or parents, and I was the recipient of that.
Sure. Well, as you went through this process of, you know, first of all, coming to grips with the fact that you've been alienated, and then realizing that there you are, what kind of resources did you find to get you through it?
Well, it was very difficult because I had done something which I should have never done. In about 1993, I said to Oliver, "Hey, look, I don't want any more public battle with your mother. I'm just going to, you know, you can come and see me when you want. I don't want to get in. I don't want any more of this argument." I have sort of an open-door policy, at which point Oliver came and stayed for like 3 weeks, and Kate was there a lot. But that sort of dwindled, and I sort of lost touch with my children for a four-year period. And then we got back together again in 1997. But it's never really ever been the same. Their family was sort of really set by Goldie, and you know, I've made several attempts, and it's been hot and cold, and that's how it remains yeah. today. It's, you know, it's cold today, but it goes, you know, it varies. And I just think that ultimately you have to heal these things. They could never be what they could have been. You can't go back and make up for lost time. But you forgive and try to have a relationship with each other, and that's what I, you know, like.
That's what you're really looking for, isn't it?
You know, you can only try so long. You can't, you know, when it falls on deaf ears, there's not much you can do.
Do you think it's colder now as a result of the book coming out?
No, I don't. The publisher received a cease and desist letter from Goldie's attorneys. They, you know, threatening, you know, legal action if I released the book, and we just ignored it and released it anyway.
Yeah.
You know, Goldie is very much in control, and she doesn't want this pristine America's sweetheart image that she's been, maintaining for decades to have any sort of, you know, tarnish on it. And I just told my side of the story, and I'm glad that I did, because I don't have to answer about it anymore in the press, unless, of course, she comes out and says something that's not true, then I will respond immediately. But I think that she's just, you know, moving on and not saying anything about it.
I understand. Yeah, you talk in the book about how Goldie started to build the brand of Goldie, and it seems like, for lack of a better term, you were a casualty for that. But I guess it comes down to, why pick on Bill? Why alienate Bill? You know,
I think that one of the reasons that she did is because I left her. She did not like the fact that I left her. And she was, like I said, believed in open marriage and thought that we could get through that, but it was a worldview that she had, which was unlike mine. I don't want to be with someone who wants to be with other men. I just don't.
Right.
If I'm with a woman, I want to be with that woman alone, solely.
Of course. Of course. What kind of response, in addition to the cease and desist letter from Goldie's lawyer, what kind of response have you gotten from the general public or from people who knew you both? Or knew you both?
Right? Oh, the general public has been really, really, they love the book, and they've realized that it's not a tell-all, and they realize that this happened to me, and I was, you know, a Hudson brother, and she was a big movie star, and we were celebrities. But this happens to everybody, and people have really taken that aspect of the book to heart and have basically really commented on that and have enjoyed it and found it helpful.
Yeah.
I find so many people having been into a situation like this.
Yeah, well, you're talking to one of them right now. So as you, you know, you obviously went through a lot, not just for the story of the book, but there's some resources throughout. If you could go back and tell 22-year-old Bill Hudson a few things that would help him through this situation, what would you tell him?
I would tell him to not have given up on fighting for my children. When I had that open door policy in 1993, I should have fought Goldie in the courts all the way. I think that a parent has to fight for their children, because you send the wrong message to your kids if you're not fighting for them. And I stopped fighting for 4 years. And that's what I would tell young Bill Hudson. And I would also, probably on the lighter side of it, say when anybody mentions terminology that you don't understand, like open marriage or whatever it might be, look it up in the dictionary.
you put a lot together when you put, you know, pop star on somebody and you give them a title and you presume that they may be a little more worldly than, you know, a kid from Oregon. You know, it's kind of funny. What kind of resources have you found to help dads in the situation that you are in now?
Well, I think the courts are somewhat of a resource. I don't think they're fair to men. I think that there are a lot of men that are hands-on fathers in today's world. And I think I think you have to utilize what you have there. There's many books out about parental alienation, and there's books out about father's rights, a guy named Glenn Sachs, and about father's rights, and this woman named Jill Ajizi about parental alienation. And once you recognize what's going on, and if you're aware of the one important thing, which is make sure, no matter how volatile the situation may be between yourself and your spouse, that you try to keep all of that negativity from your children.
That's a great lesson. That's an absolutely great lesson. And you know, you can't control what happens on the other side. You can only control what happens on your side. So
right.
You know, when things go south on the other side, you got to kind of shrug and
yeah,
know that you did the best you could.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. That's a real important thing, Tim, is to stay in touch. That's where I fell short when I didn't want to fight anymore and didn't want to have these bloody battles.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
In the press, I should have just weathered that, as miserable as it was, and fought for my kids. You have to stay in touch. And when I lost touch for those 4 years, it was really the worst. That was my fault. Now, I alienated myself and my children with that one move. Not intentionally. I thought it would make it better and easier, but sure. It ultimately made it more hurtful. And I would recommend to fathers who are going through this, just stay in there, stay the course, fight for your children. You know, the lawyers, you know, that's another thing that should change is the law. What really should happen is they should leave the property and the settlement with money one thing, and the children another. But the children are treated like property, and lawyers leverage that and use those situations, and it's just not fair. Because in most cases, in divorce, usually the parents aren't abusive, whether it's emotionally or physically. But you'd be surprised how many times these lawyers throw the abuse card out there at people. I didn't get that, but I know a lot of men that have, and it's just absolutely wrong. It's just a tactic that these lawyers use, and it's wrong. The custody should be a separate issue from the rest of the settlement in a divorce. Period.
That's an excellent point. Are you aware of groups who are lobbying, either in Congress or locally?
Yeah, I am. There's this guy named Glenn Sachs. He's great. I read it. He's in my book. He's actually here in Los Angeles, and he has a father's rights group, and he's just fantastic. He's had the laws in 38 states changed where they've been really archaic about fathers seeing their children. And he's fantastic. You know, support groups are great because you can get it off your chest, but what really has to happen is the laws have to change, and the lawyers have to really be put in their place. And I think really if they could separate the custody from the rest, from the financial settlements in divorce, I think that would help a great deal.
You know, I, having gone through the same situation, I think you're absolutely right, and it's really archaic. To treat the kids like
well, yeah, it's an interesting situation that you were in too, because you know what happens in divorce. You know, you're in this family, you've got a house, and you're both living in it, and the same food bill and all the different bills. As soon as you're out, there's you have to find a place to live, and the finances are cut in half.
Yep.
And you're probably playing child support and sometimes alimony, and it's like, oh my God, it becomes a financial disaster. But for the people that are involved, but it's a windfall for the lawyers because they take their fees and their money and use the kids against, you know, leveraging for settlement, financial settlements. It's the worst of all. It's the worst.
I know. And my wife married her lawyer.
That's funny.
Yeah. So the book is out on the streets right now.
Yep, it's on Amazon.com and bookstores and Barnes & Noble and all that stuff. It's called Two Versions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really good read, and it's got some great stories in there about the Hudson brothers and celebrities, and it's got some fun stuff in it, but it's really about taking care of your children when you're going through a divorce.
That's what I got from it. I mean, there are tons of behind the scenes stories that I'd love to talk about when it's more appropriate, but it really, I mean, this is the story that really touched me is it's a dad who's just heartbroken, and at one point he just says, I can't do this anymore. I just can't fight this anymore. And I can't imagine. I mean, it was tough enough on me without having to read, you know, about myself in the papers. I can't imagine what it was like for you, Bill.
Oh, it was horrible. I mean, especially the things that were being said were just not true. I put in the book quotes from Goldie,
that she had said in various magazines, and she could never make up her mind. She would just, whatever the circumstances and the situation was, sometimes I was the greatest person, the greatest father, the greatest husband. But then when we were divorced, I was still the greatest father, and how I was married to Cindy Williams at the time, and she was saying that Cindy's so great with the kids and everything was great, and then all of a sudden it just changes. And what happens if you, in the book, you kind of get a timeline, because it really started changing when she had a child with Kurt Russell, and that was the family that she wanted to promote.
Yeah, and it seemed like early in the relationship with Kurt Russell, it seemed like the four of you were getting along fine, you and Cindy Williams and Kurt and Goldie, you know, attending soccer games and things like that. And then just I'm not sure why, but it just seemed to take a 180 at that point.
Yeah, we were getting along. Well, it's because what Goldie wants, Goldie gets, and Goldie was using that family, and Kurt being an actor, a movie star,
right.
She had this great thing that really, you know, helped her image and the whole family image that she wanted to portray. And so I became sort of the outsider, especially when she had Wyatt with Kurt, and they moved to Aspen, and they were splitting their time between Aspen and here. You know, the out-of-state thing is a horrendous situation. I went through it, too, because they moved to Aspen, and it was just horrible.
Yeah.
There's a thing in the book where I put letters from the lawyers in there about seeing my children over Christmas, and Goldie was going to fly them in. She took them to Aspen. She shouldn't have anyway. Then she was going to fly them in on Christmas Day from Aspen to Denver to Los Angeles, stay with me for 6 hours, and then I was going to put them back on a plane again. And I said, you know what? I'm not doing that to my kids. And in the book, there's a chapter, and it's just one letter after the other,
yep,
that the lawyers are writing about this. And that really shows it, because it's not my words, it's somebody else's. You know?
You were very careful throughout the book, actually, to cite all of your sources and as much legal correspondence, which is a matter of public record, as possible. So it's not...
Yeah.
It's two versions, but...
Well, I wanted to do that because I didn't want to sound bitter, and I wanted it to be entertaining but factual.
Right. And, well, to be honest, if you wanted to cash in on this, you would have done it years ago, right? I mean,
that's funny, Tim, because when we first split up, I was offered $1 million to write a book. I said no. Then when we went through this custody battle in 1988, I was offered $750,000, and I said no. Then when we had this giant battle in 1993, I was offered, like, you know, $600,000, and I said no. Then Kate does Almost Famous and becomes a big star, and she was saying things about me in the press, and then I was offered $400,000, and I said no. And then 2003, I was offered $200,000, and I said no. And by the time I got to the book, I got no advance at all.
Well, you know, as much as it's up to me, I hope to see on the Times list. I think the book is important, and I would recommend it to any young father, really. Anybody who's frankly below 25 and getting married kind of needs to know, and especially any freshly divorced dad should really look at this and you know, put on his...
Well, also, when you're young, I like the idea that you would recommend it to young guys that are getting married, because what happens is that you're really, you know, you're young, you're in love, you're not thinking of disaster or failure. You don't think of those things. You think everything's going to be great.
Yeah. And you said that early on, is in your relationship with Goldie, you were really idealistic about everything, and some of the things that you look back on, you go, oh yeah, but you were so either young or naive or idealistic, it just didn't hit you. And the perspective of 61 years has really given you some perspective on that.
Oh yeah, it's given me some great, a really good look at the situation and myself,
yeah,
and everything. But you know, when you're in love and I was idealistic, I think most people are when they're in love and they decide to get married. But you have to protect your children. If you have children, you must protect your children. That's That's the most important thing. Period. And sometimes it's difficult to do that, and that's what I found. With my situation, as I didn't want to put my kids through anything. That's why I stopped. You know, and that was a mistake. I should have fought for them, you know, all the way. And it would have been difficult for them, but it wouldn't have had the effect that it did, which leads them to think that maybe I didn't care, even though I've told them that wasn't the case, and they knew it then, and they've told them about it, you know, since then. You know, the last time I had a conversation like that with Oliver was like in about, I think, 2006, so
wow.
About 5 years ago, 6 years ago.
Yeah.
We talked about it extensively, and I had spoken with Kate about it in like 2001 or something. We had talked about just that, how I'd failed there, and I didn't like it. It was just the wrong thing to do. So I've had that discussion, but it doesn't change it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're dealing with feelings, and you're dealing with children and their emotions, and that's a difficult thing to heal, especially in my situation where you're dealing with people that are very public.
Right. I mean, I can't imagine the magnifying glass that it puts it all under.
Oh yeah, it's horrible.
The cool thing is that children grow into adults, and they get the benefit of age and perspective as well. So, you know, time has its effect, and eventually, if you stay constant and do your best to stay in touch, the truth eventually comes out. I was curious.
I agree with that too.
You have three other kids. We've been talking about Kate and Oliver, and your situation is obviously unique to the children that you had with Goldie, but you learned a lot trying to set things right and the situation that you went through with Kate and Oliver. How have the lessons that you learned there helped you with the other three kids?
Well, it really, other than the fact that when Cindy and I divorced, well, it was a different circumstance. Cindy is a really great person, really just a sweetheart of a human being. And we had no issues about the kids, and we still don't. Cindy and I are really good friends. We had Easter together. We had Christmas together with our kids. And it was an entirely different circumstance. So I was a great father to Oliver and Kate for the longest time. And I just got caught up in Goldie's power web, and I got caught up in her insatiable desire to be in control, and I got caught up in her, she's very into money and power, and I got caught up in all that. I mean, in our divorce, everybody thought I made out like a bandit, and the truth is, and I have this in the book, I paid her $550,000.
Yeah.
So there were so many things said about me that weren't true that I just put it all in the book so that I don't have to deal with it anymore. I can just say to somebody, you want the truth, read the book.
Read the book, sure.
So the situation with Cindy was very different. And then I was with a woman and have a child, Lelania, who's going to be 6 at the end of July. And I have to say, you know, the third time was a charm because even though Suzanne and I are not together, we are kind of together. We're raising Lelania together. Cindy is like Lelania's aunt. Suzanne is totally open about Cindy. Lelania was with me at Easter, and she was with Cindy, and Emily and Zachary, my kids, with Cindy. And it's like one big family, and Suzanne is a really fantastic person as well because she really does everything for the sake of our child, and so does Cindy for the sake of our children and divorce. Even now, we go out to dinner, we it's like a family. Even though the mom and dad aren't together, you wouldn't know the difference.
You wouldn't know the difference. You can't ask for a better situation than that for the kids. So it sounds like the lesson, for lack of a better term, the lesson learned there is in full effect. You're doing everything you can to keep peace with the other side. And be as amenable, and at the end of the day, all that matters is that you're bringing up two healthy kids, right? Or three
exactly.
healthy kids.
You but the difference between Cindy Williams and Suzanne and Goldie is like night and day. Goldie is
sure.
complete and utter, she needs to be in control. of everything. And she's got this very sweet image, and, you know, but she is, she's not. She's very, very ruthless when it comes to her image, her control, her power, all that. She's she uses it.
Well, now that you've got the book out and you've said your piece and you've got it all together, what do you hope the future holds for Bill Hudson?
Well, as far as my children are concerned, I would like to reconcile with Oliver and Kate, and I will make those attempts. I mean, I have been. I've written them letters and called them and all that, and will continue to. And what's interesting to me is that, you know, in the end, we're gonna. You know, well, what happens if I died tomorrow? Would Kate call Emily or Zachary or somebody and go, "Oh my God, I heard Dad died," and then come to the funeral and act like, you know, grieve, or would she just not pay attention and stay away? You know, at one point my blood is running through her children's veins and Oliver's children's veins, not Kurt Russell's. And the truth of the matter is that my kids are adults now, and you'd mentioned that just a few minutes ago. Oliver's going to be 36 in September. Kate's going to be 33 April 19th. They're adults. They don't have to play this game. But I think that they're still under the influence and control of their mother and that sort of imaginary family that she set up with this Hollywood image. And I don't think they want to. I think they like that. And I think that I become sort of a thorn in their side. It's like, here's Kurt, but here's my dad. I think they prefer referring to Kurt, especially Kate, as their dad, or, you know, so I think that they're going to have to come to those terms and recognize the truth, which is I am their dad, and I was a great dad to them for the longest time. And if they really have the heart and the intelligence to want to heal this, I will offer my hand in an olive branch and start healing immediately.
Well, all you can do is stand there with your arms open.
And there you go, Bill Hudson. If you run a Google search, you will find out what's happened since then. And here's a tip. It's not good. My heart goes out to Bill. We have been in the same situation, although mine is not fought in the court of public opinion and certainly well under the radar. Bill, thanks for this. This is great. Hey, I'd love to hear from you. My email address is tim@deepdishradio.com, tim@deepdishradio.com. Of course, you can leave me a review on iTunes. I'd love to hear from you. And you can follow me on Twitter @deepdishradio. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.